This morning I start a new series called Making First Things First. So would you take your Bibles and go to the book of Matthew? In just a moment we're going to go to there. Let me first of all greet all of our campuses that are joining with us. Today's an exciting day for Love and Truth Ministries. Today we are launching two Love and Truth churches today, one in Dyersburg, Tennessee, and one in the Cleveland, Ohio area. Come on, let's celebrate that all across our campuses today. We're excited about that. We believe that great things are going to happen, and we know that God has a purpose and a destiny for all of our lives, and we just want to take the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to as many people as we can. I want to pray with us this morning, if we could, and just let's bow our heads together, those of you here as well as those watching. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for all of your blessings that you have given to us. We come right now, Lord, and we ask you to prepare our hearts. We are going to go into the Word of God today, and we believe that the Word of God is like a mirror that shows us where we are, who we are, and how we are. And so we pray today that you would speak to us through your Word, and that we would know exactly what we are to do to live our lives the way that you want us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible talks to us about how that we come to that place of living our lives the way God wants us to. And I don't know about you. In fact, let me just ask this question. How many of you find your life sometimes getting out of order? Just hold it there a second. Those of you here as well as the campuses, would you look around? If they don't have their hands up, lay hands on them. And I don't care what you do to them. Just pray for them, rebuke them, whatever you need to at that point. Come on, you're right? We all find our lives, we get the priorities wrong. In fact, I read a research recently by Barna Company that asked people, what are your priorities in life? Now, let me explain this survey to you. First of all, over 90% of these people were Christians, so please listen carefully as I go through the whole process of this. Over 90% of these people are Christians, and they were asked the question, tell us what your number one priority is. Interestingly, the number one priority for the majority of people, in fact, it was way and above that, was people's family was the number one priority. 45% of people said, my family is the number one priority. Now, how many of you believe our family is important? You believe that? I believe that. The second one kind of surprised me. The second one, people said their health, their leisure, and a balanced lifestyle was the second one that people rated as their number one priority. In fact, 20% of people said, that's the most important thing in my life, is my health. And how many of you know, if you don't have your health, it don't matter how much money you got, right? So you find, and some of them said, I want to have a balanced lifestyle. I want to be able to take a vacation when I want to, all of these things. 20% of people said that's number one. The number three was the one that I thought would either be number one or two, and that was people said that money, success, and their career was the most important. 17% of people said that's the most important priority in my life. Now again, let me remind you, 90% of these people were Christians. Only 12% said my faith is the number one priority. So today I've got a challenge for all of us, and that is, let's find out what the Word of God says needs to be the number one thing in our life. How about that, okay? Go to the book of Matthew, if you would, the 6th chapter, and I want to read to you. I'll begin in verse 25, and I'm not going to read that, but we'll jump down from 25 to verse 33 today. Would you look there at verse number 25? Here's what it says. Therefore, I tell you, and I want you to look carefully what it says. Do not worry about your life. I'm going to go really slow. Do not worry about your life. Now and then he explains it. This is Jesus talking. How many of you believe if Jesus is, if it's in red, you ought to listen? Right? This is in red, man. He said, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? And then he goes on for the next several verses talking about all the stuff that we spend time on. And I got to thinking about that. I got to thinking, what is it that stresses us out the most? Is it not what we're going to drink, what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, where we're going to live, what we're going to drive? right? Do I have enough money in the bank for retirement? All of these things that we just get so stressed out about, Jesus said, hey, cut it out. Don't worry. Be happy. No, he didn't say that. I'm telling you that, all right? Don't worry. Look in verse 33. Look what he says that you need to do. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things, all of this stuff, all of your food, your clothes, your shelter, all of these things will be given to you as well. And I got to thinking about it. I thought, wait a minute. What do we as believers need to set as the number one priority? If we're making first things first, what is it that we need to put first? Well, I'm going to give it to you. You ready? God. God needs to be first. God needs to be the number one priority. Matthew 22, verse 37 and 38 says, Jesus replied, they asked him, what's the greatest command? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. God said to us, look, here's what I want you to do. I want you to understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus. I want you to understand what it means to be a Christian. Now, if you were to ask that question in America today, what does it mean to be a Christian? They'd say, well, if you're American, you're a Christian. No, you're not. Right? Well, a Christian means you go to church. No, it doesn't. Right? I mean, Christians ought to go to church, but just because you go to church, right? Well, a Christian means that you go to church on Wednesday night. We know you're a Christian if you show up for midweek service. Or you're a Christian because you give a certain percentage of your money to the church. Or you're a Christian because you put one of those little fish on your bumper back there. That makes you a Christian. And yet the Word of God doesn't list any of those as the sign of being a Christian. What it does tell us, though, is that it does list some things that show us whether or not that we are really following Jesus Christ and making him the number one priority in our life. In other words, that we are making first things first. And so I want to show you some marks of a person who really is making Jesus Christ number one. First of all, is genuine faith. In other words, their faith is not just something that they talk about and say, well, yeah, you know, I got saved one time. No, faith is being lived out. The book of Romans says this. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be what? Saved. Now, I am thankful to know that today, and the Scripture tells us that's what you do. But here's what I found. I have found that a lot of people have declared a lot of things with their mouth that they're not living with their life. See, here's what I want to say to us today, and I want us to get this and to understand it, is that your genuine faith is shown by some things in your life. First of all, it takes repentance to have genuine faith. Repentance is changing your mind, changing your direction, changing your heart. The Bible says, godly sorrow worketh repentance. In other words, I look at my life and I go, this is not right. I don't need to be living this way, and I'm sorry for the way I've been living. Right? The Bible says that you are to bring forth fruit unto repentance. In other words, that you're not just to say something with your mouth, but that your life really is going to change because of that. Not only then do I repent and come to the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Word of God also lets me know that if I am really living out genuine faith, that I'm going to live a lifestyle of worship. And we say, well, worship is when I go to church and I clap my hands and I sing the songs, and if I get really aggressive and really holy, I say amen when the pastor's preaching. So that's worship. Well, that's part of worship, but the Word of God tells us that you are to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, and the New International Version says, which is your spiritual worship. In other words, the laying down and saying, you know what, I'm giving God control of my life, and when I do that, then I'm going to live it out day in and day out. And it's about a lifestyle change. In fact, let me say this to you. If your lifestyle did not change when you became a Christian, I don't think you became a Christian. You say, Pastor, that's kind of harsh. No, it's not. That's kind of real. Have you ever met a fan? I'm not talking about one of these. I'm talking about one of these. I'm talking about a football fan, right? Come on. It's already been said today about Tennessee, so I'm not going there. All right? But if you, come on, their lifestyle. I mean, if you're an Alabama fan, you got more maroon in your closet than any other color. And because if you're a Tennessee fan, you wear orange, and orange is the ugliest color that there is. But you still gonna wear. Right, I'm a fan. Come on, don't shoot me. You know, you're going to wear it no matter what, because my lifestyle, I became a fan. I sold out. I'm going to wear it. If you're a Titans fan, God help you. Anyway, sorry. You know what? I had to throw that one in for a certain person. But anyway, you know what? Whatever your issue, whatever it is, your lifestyle is going to dictate how you live, and so your genuine faith shows through. And secondly, is your relationship. The second aspect of a mark of a Christian is your relationship. Jesus said this in the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter, the 28th verse, and on through there. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden or burdened, and I will give you rest." And then he goes on to say, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your soul." And so I got to looking at that. I thought, wait a minute. I understand yoke a little bit. I'm not a farmer, but I understand that when you yoke something up, put two people or two animals or two whatever in this yoke together. And I begin to look at that, but here's what Jesus is saying to us. He is saying to us, if you are really making me the number one priority, first of all, is that you're going to come unto me. See, he said, the first thing I was not, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So we've got to come to that place where we come unto him, that he's not some addendum that's way back here, you know, the 14th thing in our life, that we are daily saying, Lord, I come to you. I give my life to you. I want to be with you. But the second aspect there is that I am willing to submit to you. Uh-oh. See, that word submission we don't like. But if you understand about a yoke, what they do is they hook up an old ox and a young ox. And what happens is that young ox runs and that old ox just plods. And pretty quick, that young ox gets a sore neck. And it learns to submit to what's going on. And so you and I have to learn to submit. Let me tell you what submission is. Everybody loves that. I'm submitted, Lord. Lord, I'm submitted. On Sunday morning, it's easy to be submitted. Right? I'm submitted. I've had people through the years saying, oh, Pastor, I'm submitted to you. I'm submitted to the house. I'm submitted. Let me tell you when you know you're submitted. You know you are submitted when you are told to do something that you don't want to do. Then you will determine whether or not you are really submitted. I mean, when the Lord says to you, I want you to go to that neighbor, and you go, now, Lord, which one? The one on the right or the one on the left? I can take that one on the right, but God, that one on the left. You know his dog comes into my yard every day and does his business. Lord, you know when he gets a party going, he throws all his beer cans over into my yard. And the Lord says, yeah, that's the one I'm talking about. And you say, well, what do you want me to do, Lord? You want me to rebuke him? You want me to tell him where he's going? No, I want you to go over and clean his yard up. Could you say that again, Lord? I didn't hear that. You know, you start rebuking the devil about that. I get thee behind me, Satan. Now, submission means whatever God says, even when I don't want to do it, I do it. In other words, it's learning. That's the aspect there, is that it's learning to do what God's called us to do. The third thing there is that if I really have the mark of a Christian, is that I have the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that God looks like me. What that means is that in my life and in your life, that I am coming to that place that I am growing into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. I won't read this, but the book of 2 Corinthians 3 talks about, verse 18, talks about being conformed or made into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to understand that getting saved is just the beginning. Right? Now I've got to grow. How many of you know that when that baby is born into the house, that's just the beginning? That's just the start. That baby's going to grow. That baby's going to mature. That baby's going to grow up. That baby's going to leave home one day, we hope. I know some of y'all keep delaying it longer and longer, all right? But that whole process is going to happen in their life. It's the whole process of what the Scripture calls spiritual maturity, of coming to that place where I am finding my life being changed, being conformed is the word there, into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am becoming more and more mature. If I am really a person who is making Jesus Christ number one priority, if he really is the first thing in my life, then what I am finding is that I am finding my life is being conformed. It's being pressed in. It's being molded into his image. It's the picture of a potter with the wheel, and as that wheel goes around, if you've ever been around one and watched it, they'll form the beautiful vase or whatever it is they're doing, and you're looking at it going, man, that's beautiful, and all of a sudden, if you watch them, they'll just slap it down, and you're sitting there going, why'd they do that? Because they saw something in it that wasn't right. And so they push it back down, and they start all over until they work it out. And that's what God does to us. And some of us don't like the process of conforming. But God says, listen, I care more about you and your destiny than I care about whether you like the process or not. So sometimes the process is not fun. It squeezes, it conforms, it pushes, but God wants to make us into his image and into his likeness. The next aspect there of a person who's walking in fellowship with Jesus Christ is the word, and just write it down, is the word denial. Now that sounds interesting. You say, Pastor, are you talking about denying Jesus? No, I'm not talking about, you know, how the Apostle Peter was, the whole process there of the trial and crucifixion. What I'm talking about is what the Word of God says. The book of Luke, the 9th chapter, the 23rd verse says this. Then he said to them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this one is where the rubber meets the road. Because here's what you've got to do. You've got to deny your rights. And man, that's hard for Westerners to do. It's like, bless God, the Constitution guarantees me the rights. There's a whole bill of rights. I've got rights. I've got rights. And you do. Here's your right as a Christian. Die to yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. Uh-oh, we'll go back and talk about that submission stuff again. See, we've got to come to that place. It's one thing, again, it's one thing to put the fish on the bumper sticker and to slap it on your car and say, I'm a Christian. It's another thing to deny your rights. It's another thing to deny the whole worldly system that we live in. We live in a world that tries to make us to be like it. And I want to go with you just for a moment, and I may tread on a couple of sacred cows here for a second, so hang on. But just because it fits with the world doesn't mean it needs to fit with Christians. Just because it's popular and in style doesn't mean we need to do it or we need to wear it. Oh, help us, Jesus. Right? I mean, come on. There are, I want to be careful here, but there ought to still be a few things left to our imagination. Okay? We come on, Eddie. We don't need to see all the goods. We need to keep things proper and in order and decent. I said it. Nobody else is crazy enough to, but I'll be crazy enough to. It's time that we understand walking in righteousness, walking in holiness, walking uprightly before God. All of these things are important in our life. So I've got to deny some things of the world. I've got to deny what the Word of God calls lustful passions and desires. I can't just do it because I want to. I mean, come on, if I did everything I wanted to, whoo, help me, Jesus, right? I mean, there's some stuff, anyway, we won't go there. It's none of your business what it is, by the way. Don't come asking. I'm not going to tell you. Right? The next mark, I got to go. I got to hurry. The next mark is obedience. If I'm really living out what Jesus Christ has called me to, then I've got to be obedient. I've got to be obedient, first of all, to His Word. The written Word of God is my guide. It's my map. It's the direction for my life. But I've also got to be obedient to the will of God. And the will of God is not always in the Word of God. Uh-oh. Somebody said, no, everything's in the Word of God. No, the Word of God didn't tell you who to marry. The Word of God didn't tell you what job to take. The Word of God didn't tell you what house to buy or what neighborhood to live in. But you know what? God has a will about all of those things. So not only do I have to be obedient to the Word, I also have to come to that place where I learn to align my life with the will of God or the purpose of God. What is it that God, Rick Warren wrote a wonderful book on purpose living. And if you haven't read it, you ought to go out and buy it because it will help you to live out the purpose of God in your life, to live in obedience to what God has called you to do. The next aspect is fruitfulness. If I am a believer, if I am making Jesus Christ the number one priority of my life, then I'm going to have some fruit. There's going to be some things happen in my life. And the book of Galatians, again, for the sake of time, will not read it. But Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness. Goes on, names all of these things. Well, here's what I want to say to us today, and that is these things, these fruit have to be exhibited in our lives. At love, righteousness, good works, all of these things are to be exhibited in our life. But let me say this to you. Have you ever walked by an apple tree and looked up there and there weren't any apples on it? Ever had that happen? Anybody, and it's apple season, and there's no apples on. Jesus had that happen one time, didn't he? What did he do? He just cursed it. Die. Right? But let me ask you a question. As you walk by that tree, maybe it's a few weeks before apple season, as you walk by that tree and the apples haven't come out yet, do you hear the tree talking? No, I know it's crazy, but go with me for a minute. Do you hear the tree going, come on, apples? I command apples. If you find that tree, don't tell anybody but me. We're going to make some money. Right? Why does an apple tree produce apples? Because it is the fruit that flows out of the tree. You and I are going to produce this fruit because we are in relationship with God Almighty. I can't produce those fruit. Only God's Spirit in me can produce that fruit. But I'm not going to stand around, come on, love. Right? You ever seen people pray? I mean, some people say, oh, God. I'm going, what's wrong with you? Chill out. He said, if you abide in the vine, you know, he'll produce the fruit, right? So fruitfulness needs to flow out of our life. So that's the mark. That shows whether or not somebody can look at my life and go, that person's a believer or that person's not a believer, right? So how do I live that out? Real quickly, let me give you some things. First of all, number one is I've got to trust in the Lord. You know what? I've been living for God a long time. And I'm going to be honest with you, there are a lot of things that have happened in my life that I don't understand. Am I the only one? I mean, I look at things that have happened time and time again and go, man, I don't understand that. But you know what Proverbs 3:5 says? Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In other words, don't depend on you. Depend on Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's number one. If I'm going to have those marks, that's what I've got. Number two is this. I've got to stay away from evil. Wow. Why is that one so hard for us? Again, the book of Proverbs. If you don't spend time in Proverbs, I want to encourage you, make that part of your life. Proverbs 3:7 says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil." Right? I mean, there are things that you and I need to do. We just need to shun some things. I love eating out. And most of you can tell that by looking at me. I love to go out and eat, and I don't like going out and eating. I'm not a fast food kind of guy, although I do it because Sherry loves fast food. So it's one of those arguments we get in more than anything else. Excuse me. It's one of those intense fellowship moments that we have more than any other time. It's like, where do you want to go to eat? And she'll tell me, and I go, no, I don't want to go there. And she'll go, well, why did you ask then? Just like that, too, I'm going to tell you. In fact, maybe a little bit more attitude than that, right? And so I'm in a place I want them to, you know, I want them to seat me. I want them to hand me a menu. I want somebody to bring me my food. I don't want to go get it. I ain't all that stuff. And so I walk in. And it's invariably, I mean, it seems like, I don't know if I've got, you know, something written on my forehead or what, but it's invariably, I walk in, and they say, how many, and I'm sitting there by myself, I'm going, one. Now, I have to be good when I go to restaurants because we have a television program. And so people that I don't know me. So I can't misbehave even in restaurants now, so I got to be really good, and so I'm real kind of just one. And invariably, they'll grab that menu, and they'll start into the bar. And I just look, I go, do I look like I'm hungover? I don't know. You know, I know I'm getting older. Maybe my eyes are drooping. Maybe I need to consult a plastic surgeon. But I'm telling it's like invariably they go, you must want, and they don't say that, but they just start walking. I mean, I guess I got that look of, you know, somebody who needs another, you know, whatever. And I go, no, I don't want to go in the bar. Now, I can go eat in the bar. I'm not going to drink anything I shouldn't drink. I'm not going to be laid out and passed out on the floor before I leave the bar that night. But I'm going to shun the very appearance of evil. I did a series a while back called Guardrails, and I got some really good report about it, and I got some negative things because people say, well, what do you mean telling me I can't do certain things? I said, I didn't tell you can't do them. I'm telling you shouldn't do them. You got to draw some lines in your, the Word of God says, submit yourself therefore to the Lord, resist the devil, and he'll do what? He'll flee from you. And for years, I'd the devil would show up in many forms, and he'd show up, and I go, I rebuke you, devil. Get thee behind me, Satan. And a lot of times, I didn't conquer. Again, don't come asking me what it is. You know, I got defeated, and I'd say, well, the Word of God said I could resist the devil, and he'd flee. And one day, I really felt the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, read the first part of that verse. And I said, okay. And the Lord showed me that the first thing you've got to do is submit yourself, therefore, to the Lord, then resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. In other words, the amount of resistance I'm going to have is the amount of submission I have to the Lord. So I've got to come to that place where I am daily submitting my life to the Lord so that when the enemy comes in, and I'm going to promise you, before today is over, he will show up. Then I will be able to resist the devil and he'll flee from me. Number three is evaluate yourself. Evaluate yourself. Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart so that I will not sin against you. We've got to come to the place where we go back to the Word of God and we look at our lives and say, are we measuring up to what the Word of God says? And we can't judge, the Bible says, don't judge yourselves by yourselves, because every one of us can look at somebody else and see that they're worse off than you are. Right? I mean, come on, we've all played that game. Well, I'm better than they are, Lord. Yeah, Well, you may be, but look the other way. There's somebody that's better than you. And for those of you who have reached the state of perfection, you probably want to find a different church. But anyway, the process is in our lives is we need to evaluate our lives. We need to look at ourselves. Day in and day out, we need to have this constant running dialogue with the Lord and saying, you know what, I want to know where my life is. I want to know if I'm living up to what you've called me to live up to. The fourth thing is this, is that we need to acknowledge him. I need to acknowledge the Lord. If he's going to be first priority, if I'm making first things first, then I need to acknowledge him. The book of Proverbs again says, in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. All right? It's that whole thing there of saying, God, what is it that you want me to do? And man, I'm going to tell you, sometimes when I ask that question, I don't like the response. Here's what I want you to do. You got anything else? No, that's it. Let me get back to you. I'm going to go think about this a while. And you know, how many of you notice we pray about things we have no business praying about? Can I give you one? I have people all, this okay? I'm going to do some marriage counseling. You ready? All right, people come to me all the time and say, Pastor, we're going to get married. And my first question always is, are they a believer? I love you. Well, no, Pastor, but I'm praying for them. Well, you don't need to marry them. It's in the B-I-B-L-E. Don't be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. You don't have to pray about it. Now pray that they get saved and pray they get salvation and not galvation. Somebody explain it to you. I'll let it simmer. See, we've got to come to that place where we're acknowledging him as Lord. Lastly is be led. Be led by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Spirit, when he has come, he will guide us into all truth. And I have found that the Spirit of God is always speaking. My problem is I'm not always listening. God's communicating. God's talking. Now, I'm not talking about being one of these weird people that show up and say, God said this and God said that. Oh, cut it out. All right? Do y'all ever get tired of super spiritual people, or am I the only one? You want me to help you handle super spiritual people? There's one of two ways. Either just walk off, which is usually my method of operation. They're telling me something, I just go, see you, God bless you. And the other one is that you have to be more spiritual than they are. You say, what do you mean? They come to you and say, I had a dream. What time did you have that dream? 6 o'clock last night. Well, I had one at 8 o'clock this morning. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about God's communicating. God's talking. We need to listen. Let me close with this. Write down three letters real quickly. RPM. RPM. I've talked about this all the time, but I'm going to talk about it again. RPM is not the revolution per minute in your car. That's not what I'm talking about. Here's what RPM stands for. First of all, the R stands for read. Read the Bible every day. The P stands for pray. Pray every day. And the M stands for meditate. Meditate on what you've prayed about and what you've read. And I promise you, if you will begin to do this, you say, Pastor, how long do I need to do that? Well, listen, here's what I've said for years. If everybody would do that for 5 minutes for each of those every day, 5 minutes to read the scripture, 5 minutes to pray, 5 minutes to meditate. And I know you spiritual ones are going, Pastor, I pray for much. I got it. But if I could believe every person listening to me today, every day, without exception, is reading the Word for 5 minutes, is praying for 5 minutes, is meditating for 5 minutes, I promise you the kingdom of God would become first priority in our lives. And that's what I want. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at some different aspects. And for years, I used to preach that God was first, your family was second, your business was third, church kind of fell in there somewhere. But you know what? The longer I've done this, all of a sudden, I got this insight and I saw that, wait a minute, it's not that way. It's just God, and everything else is in God. Everything we do, I'm going to be talking about different aspects, about making first things first, but I want to promise you, if it's not all in God, it's going to be a mess. And so what I want to encourage us to do over the next 4 weeks together is to come to that place where you and I are making first things first. Amen. Amen.